there are challenging scripture passages, and then there are challenging scripture passages, and then there are challenging scripture passages like these. You know, getting ready, starting at the beginning of the week to do this on Sunday, and sometimes you look at those readings and go, oh boy. It helps that we've got the passage from Romans. It doesn't necessarily directly relate to the gospel in the first reading, but it brings up something that is actually the foundation for what God is trying to teach through the gospel and through the prophet Ezekiel, talking about the concept of love. Now, scriptural-based love, it's not how we feel. It's not about hearts and flowers and roses and nice, warm, squishy feelings about stuff. It is based on an act of the will where we deliberately choose to do what is for the good of another person, regardless of how we feel. Feelings don't come into play. And what is the ultimate good of another person? If I truly love you, what do I hope for you? I don't have any hope for you whatsoever. I think I will go home. No. What, as a pastor, what do I hope for each and every one of you? Whether I personally like you or not. Have you ever thought about that before? What do I personally hope for every member of this parish family? That we will all wind up together whenever our earthly life is done in heaven. So here's the kind of love Paul is talking about, and it's scripturally based. What is love? It's willing what is for the eternal good of another person. And again, feelings aren't a part of the picture, because sometimes we don't feel good towards another person because they've done something offensive to us, done something that harmed us, or we see them doing something that's being harmful to others. So it's not based on feeling, it's based on I care about what is for your eternal good. And that's the kind of love we are all supposed to have for each other. For which, in the gospel passage, Jesus is talking directly to the apostles here when he's talking about how to do fraternal correction. There have been people throughout the history of the church that have been teaching and doing things that are gravely false. And something needed to be done, because if you allow somebody to teach what's false, what happens? They have the opportunity to deceive and corrupt the faith of other people, which you, if you love all of your people, you don't want that to happen. So there's that. First, you go to that person and speak to them one-on-one. If they don't listen, you bring a couple witnesses along with you who have heard and seen what they've been doing. And if they refuse to even listen to that, then you bring together the entire church, the entire College of Apostles, to bring it to an issue. And if they still refuse to listen, then what's the end result? This is not going to sound like love, but it's then cut them off just like you would a tax collector or a Gentile. In other words, you are separated from the community because you refuse to repent of what you're doing and the harm that is causing. And it's not meant to be a punishment, but actually meant to have like a medicinal value of, this is what you've done, this is the consequence of it, and the ultimate level of you've cut yourself off and you need to repent of it. And that cutting yourself off, how far could that go? That's where the prophet Ezekiel comes in. God has said to him, I have raised you up as a watchman for the house of Israel. The role of a watchman is to do what? To have a nice little cushy place to sit down and enjoy coffee and donuts and just watch the world go by. Now, you'd be set up on a high place so that you could see the surrounding area and be alert to whether or not something dangerous was coming towards your community and act on it to defend your people. If you fail at your duty, like if you sat down and took a nap while you were on duty, what would be the consequence of that? Now think about history. If you had the job of being a watchman at a fort, and you took a nap while on duty, what would they do to you when they caught you asleep? It's called a death sentence. Literally, they would put you to death, usually just right there on the spot, because you miserably, deliberately failed at a vital duty over the community for their sake. So he's told Ezekiel, I have appointed you as a watchman for the people of Israel. And what was he supposed to do? This is a time in history. This is leading up to the attack of the Babylonians and the exile and the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, because the people have gone far off track and are refusing to hear Jeremiah. They're refusing to hear Ezekiel. They've closed their hearts and their minds and refusing to repent of what they're doing. He said, I'm sending you to them to bring a word of warning, in the hopes that the people would do what? Yeah, response real time. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts, in the hopes that they would repent. But he says, here's the way it works. I am sending you to them. If you fail to speak to them and they continue in their way and don't repent, they're going to die for their sin. And he's talking not just you're physically going to die, you're going to die. Meaning what? You're going to wind up eternally separated from God. If you refuse to speak to them and they die, you're going to die too. If you speak to them and they don't listen, they're still going to die, but you will have done what? You'll actually save yourself because you fulfilled the role for which you were sent. Sounds harsh, doesn't it? But remember that concept, love your neighbor as yourself, and love is not based on feelings. Love is based on choosing to do what is for the good of another person. They're responsible for how, whether or not and how they receive it. You're responsible, Ezekiel, for doing it. The apostles were responsible and still are responsible for being the watchmen over the church in our day and time, and they will be held accountable for whether or not they gave warning to those who were going this way or that way and being deceptive and a cause of division and heresy. We don't have any of that in our day and time, do we? Wow. They will be held accountable. Miss South is the bishops, right? Who all is responsible for speaking the truth, basically? That guy over there. This guy standing here. Every other person who holds the position of being a pastor over a Catholic church community, and every bishop and archbishop and cardinal and the person who is currently the successor of Peter on the throne. We are all responsible. So that means you're all off the hook, right? Guess what? Wrong. Watchmen over the community. You are watchmen over the community of what? Your homes. Mom and Dad. You have a role of being the watchman over your domestic church, your family, your household. And it all comes from what? How many of you have been to a baptism as an adult and have heard the words that are spoken during what's called the chrismation, when the chrism is put anointed on the head of the child being baptized or the adult? As Christ was anointed priest, prophet, and king, so may you live always as a member of his body, prophet, watchman, meant to speak the truth for God, which means if you see your children wandering in a direction that is not spiritually healthy for them, you don't need to say anything at all. Was that right or wrong? Okay, I've got agreement over here. Let's see if I can bring it from over here. This is where, you know, we think faith is just supposed to be all nice, soft and pillowy and cushy and, you know, bonbons and chocolates and a nice glass of Chablis or something. And it's not. Faith is tough. Love is hard. It means loving someone enough to risk their not liking you very much. It means speaking the truth in a world which hates truth. You know, we're doing one of the things that biblically we were warned not to do, of declaring right to be wrong and wrong to be right. You know, especially, you know, since the 1960s. Is it moral for a man and a woman who are not in the sacrament of marriage to live together? Yes, I was actually asking you. And yet, is it a minor or a serious sin to commit? We need to work on this one, don't we? It is a very deeply serious sin. It's called cohabitation. It's called being physically intimate with someone to whom you're not married, which is a grave, as in mortal, sin. And yet it's happening all around us because our culture has declared that, well, of course, this is all right. You have a right to do this. We have mislabeled wrong and right. And how often do you hear priests, deacons, bishops speak out against it? How often do parents speak to their sons and daughters? What's at stake? I'll repeat that one. What is at stake? The souls of your sons and daughters. Your own soul is at stake. What did God say to Ezekiel? I am sending you with the message to the people. If you do not speak it, and they don't repent on their own, they will die, and so will you. Remember, this is love called choosing to do what is good, the eternal good of another person. Allowing someone to go without any word spoken to the contrary in a direction that is morally wrong is morally wrong. And that's just scratching the surface. There are so many things that are being declared right in our culture that are gravely morally wrong. And yet, who's saying anything about it? You know, our bishops should be speaking out in the open, clear and plain as day to our politicians who are pushing abortion, euthanasia, all this gender confusion stuff. Parents, do you have any clue what's coming into your house through the satellite, through the internet, through the tablets and smartphones that's pushing all this stuff that is gravely morally wrong on your kids? Do you know? Should you know? Next Mass is at 9 a.m. I can wait for an answer for that one. It's like, let's get down and get serious here. Should you know what's coming into your home, streaming through the internet and off the satellite? You better believe it. Because you are the watchman. At all levels, from the individual to the family to the community to the parish to the diocese to the church around the world, we have this major watchman role that we're not fulfilling, and the consequence is so many souls are being lost because we're afraid we might offend someone. And I'll repeat that. We're afraid we might offend someone. And so instead of speaking the truth, a word of very loving, freeing, life-saving, soul-saving truth, we just And we back off. And we're mute. And Satan's very happy because we allow him to get away with committing spiritual murder. We need to hear this. Realize deeply within your own soul how important the immortal souls of your sons and daughters need to be to you, and act on it. Realize that what you choose to do or choose to fail to do will have an impact on your soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your own soul and do what God is directing you to do, directing us to do, directing the entire church to do at all levels for the salvation of the souls of God's children. Remember, God set each and every single one of us on earth by his choice. We were conceived in our mother's wombs by the Lord's will, with the ultimate will that we'll each come to the end of our life here on earth and be ready to enter into the eternal life of heaven. And we each have a significant, loving role to play in helping each other to eternal life. Don't be afraid to speak to your children. Don't be afraid to speak to your spouse. Maybe you need to speak to your parents or your brother or sister. Don't be afraid. In the love of the gospel, the love that poured out from the side of Jesus on the cross, love your neighbor and love yourself.